is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035. 1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. I'd like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on today. We have a really full show, a lot of information to talk about on our topic of the week from social media, our Facebook page. It's basically talking about working with individuals with autism on their hygiene regimen. And what you did, I know you made it into three parts. You asked specifically about taking your child or adult to the dentist with autism and some of the obstacles that you might have occurred, and also any advice on how they overcame them, and also simple things like trimming your child's nails, fingernails, do you find this difficult, and again, asking them how they overcome any obstacles, haircuts, and anything else they wanted to talk about as far as the daily hygiene regimen. I know one of the ones I wanted to talk about, Lynn, is showering, because that's a big one for me. But anyway, start us off, because I know there was a ton of responses this week to the, to this question, because it's a big question that covers, you know, multiple parts.
Right. I got a lot of great, I want to thank everybody. We got a lot of great answers. Again, they're going to vary based on the level of the child or adult. First one was, my daughter is great at the dentist. If I tell her what to expect, they're going to brush her on her teeth and check them. Trimming her toenails and fingernails, it can be, it has to be certain type of scissors, the little tiny ones. We have to cut the fingernails, otherwise she bites them. Toenails, she hands me her foot and says, nails. It's cute. She's great at getting her hair trimmed. She won't let them wash her hair. I wash it and then spray it with a bottle. Okay, that was one with a girl. The next one, my son has to be sedated for the dentist just for a cleaning. We cut his nails at night. Haircuts are a nightmare. Nothing has really worked. We just power through them as fast as we can and leave the lady with a huge tip. I remember those days. That's a little too familiar with me. Just to run around after Michael in the haircut place. We do it.
I only did that once, and it was once and done. Never took him again. So,
oh, you never took him again?
No.
How do you do it?
I do it myself. I cut his hair myself. I'm actually his hair salon right here at home, and I'm the hair cutter guy. So I don't know how I got that job, but He actually cooperates pretty well with me on it. Actually, it's funny. I gave him a haircut right before Easter, actually, that Friday before Easter. And I washed his hair and dried his hair and then gave him a haircut. So
yeah, my husband actually does Michael as well. We used to have it was weird. He went through a phase where he was, you know, not too bad with it. And then he got really, really bad. And I'd have to, like, chase him around the salon. And I couldn't get him to sit still. It was like a nightmare. So then my husband actually took just bought one of those razors. And now, you know, he's older, so, and he's tall. So he just buzz cuts him, like, every so often, and that's it. And my husband, thank God, is better
That's exactly what I do. I use the buzz cut, and then I take the scissor and I just trim a couple spots.
Yeah.
And but he's very cooperative. He's very good now. I mean, the worst part for me, and I don't know if Gary had this problem too, but around their ears, they really don't like that.
My son would
pull his head to the other side and, you know, bring his shoulder up to his ear to cover his ear. And I understand because it's the noise.
That
thing is loud. It's buzzing and it's near their ears. And I get that because I don't even like that myself, actually, when they do it to me. But, you know, he's learned over the years in the last, I would say last year, he's begun to trust me more with the razor on his ears. And I tell him, I only need 30 seconds and I'll be done. 30 seconds and you're done, you know. And I keep telling him, come on, let me finish this up. And sure enough, he'll let me do it. And actually, he had the best haircut ever. I know my wife told me, she says his hair looked awesome. So I was like, I was happy because sometimes it doesn't come out as great because, you know, he moves his head and I might nick it a little bit and then I got to cut it up a little shorter and it's a little, you know, not quite as
even.
I didn't go to beauty school here, so let's face it, I'm not a
And with my husband, I don't even know how he does it. I mean, he I know originally he had to lock him in the bathroom, you know, so he couldn't get out and stuff. And
oh, wow.
Now he seems to be more, like I think same thing with, like, your son, like, got used to it.
I do it right in the kitchen. I actually get a chair, put it in the middle of the kitchen, and I plug in the razor, and I do it right in the middle of the kitchen, and I have the garbage pail nearby, and pick up the hair as it falls, and he even picks it up himself now, and I give him a little hair brush, you know, to brush the hair off his neck and put a towel around him. It's like being at the barbershop, you know, so it's pretty funny.
My husband makes a mess in the bathroom.
Oh, really? No, I'm pretty good. We do a pretty good job, so I'm neater, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just, like, glad that he does it.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to do it. I don't blame you.
Yeah,
you know, for sure.
Okay, moving on.
So some of the other responses. Yeah, what do you got?
with my 10-year-old son, number 3 haircuts, he absolutely hated to go to the barber, so he bought a pair of whale clippers at the store and did his hair in our own house for 4 years. A year ago, he went to the barber, and now he does fine. My advice is to go at slow times when there's not a lot of people. Okay. Next, laughing gas. Next person was talking about the dentist. Laughing gas has changed our lives. He bites his own nails, so I guess that covers the nails. As far as the haircuts, it was awful, unbearable, and rarely done until age 13.
Wow.
Yeah. More severe, I guess, person there. I don't know what this person mentioned, I guess the name of the place, Cartoon Cuts, does desensitizing visits for the pediatric dentist that knows how to handle special needs patients. And I have to actually, I haven't had time, but I have to write a letter to my dentist because we just came from the dentist, and he's just freaking amazing with Michael.
Oh, really? That's great.
He's also a pediatric dentist, but he doesn't specialize in autism at all, and he actually taught me more than any other professional about autism. He's just an amazing guy. So
that's great. A dentist is tough. That's one thing we don't do well with that.
Very hard.
Only if I take him, actually, with my wife, he's very uncooperative with the dentist. At least when I go, I kind of talk to him and say, you know, open your mouth for, you know, the girl cleaning his teeth, and he'll do a little bit better. But even so, he's not good with them. He grabs the tools, reaches for things. You know, he actually knocked a tray off one time. All the tools fell on the floor. It was very stressful. You know, it's not a fun experience for us.
I mean, I'm lucky my son has good teeth. So, like, the last three or four times that he's gone, he hasn't had any cavities, hasn't had anything, you know, needed to be done. So he got used to it just being the cleaning, and he's gotten much better.
Right, right.
This guy is just amazing because he has dealt with severe autism. He had another patient, and he taught me some things. And that's why I just think it doesn't necessarily have to do with the person's degree or how much they know about autism necessarily sometimes.
No, it's a lot of personality. I think it's their personality, too.
He's freaking amazing. Like, he just knows, you know. Yeah.
Anyway. Kind-hearted person, you know. And it's
very kind-hearted. Yeah. Just a dog.
Patient, too. I think patience has a lot to do with it. You know, some people don't have patience. Yeah. You know, they're professionals, and they're very good at their profession, but they don't have tolerance or patience for, you know, taking longer to do something, and they get impatient. And our kids, you know, are more sensitive than anybody else, and they pick up on that vibe really easy.
Yeah, and also, like, my son did need, and this guy also is very good about, like, if he needs something done, he'll do it right there. Like, he'll just do it. He won't, you know, like somebody else might say, oh, you have to come back to have a tooth pulled. Like this last time you had to have a tooth pulled. He just did it right then and there, you know, because he knows it's hard for me to bring them, you know. So just something like that is so helpful.
Yeah, that's a big deal, too, not making multiple trips. If you can do all one trip, you know, and get everything done at once is big. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, I'm going to move on. With my 22-year-old nonverbal son, we and this is about the dentist also. We pre-medicated him with Valium before dental procedures. My husband does the fingernails. He does okay. Haircuts were always difficult. I do them myself with clippers. At least now he sits and smiles. But before it was a two-person job, which always sent him into a rage afterwards. Nice to see him smile now and no more aggression. See, this is what gives people hope, too, is how they change. And you really can't.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's the big part of this, actually, is the seeing the change, that there is hope at the end of the day, that, you know, it's not only always going to be this hard doing these things, you know, and it does get easier.
Really interesting. I always find I learn a lot from people who have older kids. This person has two, one lower functioning, one higher functioning. Let's see, my higher functioning son used to dread the dentist, but as he's gotten older, it's easier. My lower functioning son used to be put under for any procedure. He would freak out. The other issues they are fine with. Always live with his, the lower functioning son has always lived with his head buzzed. He loves the sound and feeling on his head, so go figure.
That's funny.
See, they're all different. That's the that's a lower functioning one. Okay, next one. Good topics. I'll go. Tried the dentist, but he won't hold still. Been putting it off because he'll probably need to be knocked out. His teeth are great, though. I've been brushing them his whole life. Nails, he gets a manicure and a pedicure by his mom. Dad hasn't done them once. I talk him through it every time he plays with the tools. I hope one day he will try it himself. This is a higher functioning child, I should say, actually. Haircuts, I used to have to do it with him until he was five. Then magically, he doesn't mind going to Great Clips, but is itchy and needs a bath right afterwards. In summary, he has gotten much better over the past 10.5 years, but he is one of the most adaptable ASD kids I've ever seen, besides a few in his classroom. Yeah, that's the other thing. Some of the kids are more easygoing than others, you know?
Yeah, of course. It all depends on the individual child, you know? And like we said, you meet one child with autism, you met one child with autism.
That's
because
it.
They're all different.
Exactly it, yeah. And then the last one was the dentist, the nails, okay. And then hair, used to have to go back to finish it another day. Now, as an adult, he obsesses about his hair. It's highlighted, waxed, etc. It cost me a fortune.
Oh, my God, wow.
And that's, I don't know how functioning level, but it's an older adult with autism. So that was the end of my responses, and I thank you all. A lot of great, great ideas there, too.
You know, one thing I wanted to mention that nobody talked about was showering.
Yeah, that was important.
You know,
question,
that's a big one because I know for me, it took me forever to go through a shower without flooding the bathroom.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because what he would do is grab onto the handheld shower head with all his might and fight me to not allow me to put it on his body at all. And that thing would shoot all over the place, all over me, all over the window. I mean, the ceiling, you name it. It was all over the place. And it was not fun. Not fun. I mean, so we did baths for a long time. Problems with the bath. He would kick water all over the place and flood the bathroom. And, you know, it wasn't up until, I would say, probably just maybe a year and a half ago where he actually started really cooperating with the shower.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I don't have, like, some people have a shower, you know, with the glass doors. We don't have one of those. We have a bathtub.
Right.
So it makes it a little bit tougher to do, you know, showering and not have water all over the place because he's very afraid of the, you know, shower curtains. He doesn't like closed around him at all.
Oh.
So he'll actually push them away. And of course, you push them away. That's what keeps the water inside the tub.
Yeah, that's hard.
So that's been a very hard challenge for us. And then he was doing well with just, you know, washing his body and stuff. But he wouldn't let me go anywhere near washing his hair. It was like torture. I mean, as soon as I brought that thing anywhere near his head, he would grab it or grab my arm and with dear life that I would wet his head. It was like really tough.
Wow.
And that was hard. And I've heard this before from a lot of parents too that have had this problem too with their kid with getting their heads wet. You know, which makes sense because think about how many kids don't like helmets on their heads or hats on their heads.
Yeah.
So it definitely makes sense. I get that. And so what I started doing was I put a side towel or like, you know, like a small towel on my shoulder because what he would do was grab the shower curtain and pull on it and use it to like wipe off his face if he got any kind of water in his face at all. And he actually snapped a couple of the shower rings one time, ripped the shower curtain down. Actually, we went through a couple of shower curtains. He broke probably two or three of them. And finally, like I said, I put a towel around my shoulder where if he needed to wipe his face, he could do it. And I started doing that probably about, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago. And after a while, now he uses the towel less and less, where to the point now, as I said, put your head back, Jonathan. He actually puts his head back, and I said, I need a count of 10, hold it, and I'll do a count, and he keeps his head there. And then as soon as I hit one, he pulls his head right up, and I'm like, I need one more second, you know? Let's do it again. He puts his head back, and it's like, and it becomes a game. But you know what? It's much easier, and it takes half the time it used to take, and I have no mess around the house either. Like I used to, like I said, you basically flood the whole bathroom.
Oh, my God.
And that was not
fun.
We have
doors, so ours is not, I mean... Michael, so see, and this is the thing. Like Michael, like I've never had an issue with like he used to take a bath. He was, you know, baby,
right,
and then I gave him baths, no problem. He loved it. Never had an issue. And then by 10, since he's such a big kid, you know, they said start showering him. I never had an issue. Just my issue.
Even washing his hair. Never
mind.
Put his arm up or anything to push you away.
No, he's no. most gentle. Like I said, I always joke with you. My daughter is more assertive than more aggressive than him. He's the least, like, he just, you know, he loves it. What is interesting also, too, is, like, now he just wants his privacy. Like, he's like go away.
Oh, that's so funny.
Which is really interesting, you know. Even in the bathroom, like, he knows his boundaries, too, now.
Right.
Like, I just, all of a sudden this year, and I wonder if Jonathan, you know, because, like, Michael's a year older than Jonathan.
Right.
Just, I notice a difference where he knows, like, space, like, certain things he wants his privacy.
Right. No, that's great. And that's important, you know, that he understands.
And, like, even in the shower, like, I'll, you know, it was funny because this is the, you know, first thing I've been blogging, too. Like, I noticed a change in him. Like, I used to, I think one time he's been lately doing himself, you know, and I just kind of walk him through it. But one day I was, like, lazy and I wanted to just wash him and he wouldn't let me. He got angry. He wanted to.
Really?
And do it himself, which is a shot sign that he was growing up. And
No, that's a good sign. That's a real good
so
thing.
I was
independence.
Ecstatic, you know?
Yeah.
I said, oh, my God, you know, he's really, like, trying. And, like, a lot of things, I think all of a sudden he just wants to be
And he will physically, like, wash himself now, too, on his own?
He does, but I have to sing the song, which they always yell at me. I make up songs for everything.
Right, right. You're like me and my grandfather. I got that from my grandfather. We do silly songs for everything.
We do songs for everything, me and Michael, and they tell me it's not good. Meanwhile, you know, you can't always...
Who said it's not good, though? That's crazy, right?
Well,
if it's working.
Well, she said to me it's not something that you can easily fade.
Yeah,
and
no, I
was speaking to somebody at our last event, actually, and he was saying to me, it was a music therapist guy, and he said, you know what, if you put it on a CD of your voice and you put it in the shower with him, you can eventually fade it, and he could just play this thing and follow
right,
the
right.
Because he likes it. Like, you have to find what gets through to your child. Every child
Absolutely.
Is different, and my son responds to music, and like you said, counting is a big thing. Like,
right.
I count with Michael, too, like a lot of things.
Yeah, we do that all the time, everything. And you know, when he's not...
And music, yeah.
I don't know about Michael if he does something wrong, and you go, I'm going to count to three, you better stop. I don't know if he ever does anything.
No.
So good. Well, like, see, Jonathan's more mischief, and he gets into a lot of trouble. Like, he'll do things like, you know, break things and get into soap, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
And I'll tell him, like, put the soap down or even eating dinner, like, he won't eat his dinner. And I'm like, pick up your fork and start eating. I'm going to count to three. And sure as enough, so when I start to count, he'll actually pick up his fork and start eating his food because he'll be playing and, you know, he gets very distracted, which, you know, is understandable, of course.
And that's good that he listens.
But he does listen now, and he didn't do that before. So he's definitely made some major strides and breakthroughs in the past couple of years. And I know at school they've been doing a lot with him, too, and he's done quite well in the last 2 years. So, but like I said, I think it comes with age, too, and constant, you know, it's that consistency. You know, they need the structure. They need consistency because if you're not consistent, they're not going to follow through. And I think that's with any child, for the matter of fact, of raising children in general, where, you know, parents, a lot of times they get to the second, third child, they get tired and they don't they're not as strict with that child anymore, and they don't tighten up those boundaries, I call it, and they allow their kids to get away with a lot of stuff. And then what happens is that child ends up being their problem child because you didn't lay down the rules and you didn't enforce them enough. And so then that child, you know, ends up being a lot harder and more troublesome. So, you know, I find, especially talking to a lot of parents, you know, after their
That's
third
funny,
kid.
I think they usually they say the first child you screw up and you don't know because you don't know what you're doing.
No, not necessarily. I think, you know, most kids, I mean, you know, I think the parents are more strict with the first child. If you think about it, think about this, just with photos alone, how many parents I've spoken to over the years, their firstborn child, they have a million pictures. Now they get to the second child, and they maybe have a half a million. And by the time they hit the third child, they're lucky they have, you know, a quarter of a million, you know? So it's like, it's funny how, you know, it just changes everything, you know, the more children you have. And
right.
I think, you know, these kids, if you can keep up that consistency as if the first child, because obviously the first child, we don't know what the heck we're doing. Nobody really gives you a true manual of how to raise a child. And never mind raising a child with autism or any disability for that matter. There's no real, but I think one thing that is truthful and does work is, you know, you learn from a lot of the teachers at school is consistency. It's just whatever you do, be consistent. And consequences too. That's the other thing. Like Jonathan knows, okay, you're going in your room. You know, if you don't cooperate.
Oh yeah, I've done. I mean, Michael understands that, you know, now too. Like, but he's more. He doesn't act up as much as my little one, so it's different. The different personalities, I
right,
guess.
Right.
But like him, I could say go to your, like he'll just listen to me automatically. My other one, forget it. She'll scream at me. She'll, you know, argue, whatever. She's just more different, just different temperament. Like
right,
no.
Right.
And then Michael will be, I'll be like 1, 2, 3, and then that's it. And then I'll, you know, put the timer on.
Yeah, he's
and,
so
you know,
easy going.
Usually,
yeah. Mm-hmm. He's so easy going. You know.
Very easy.
And
going.
even Jonathan, like I said, he, you know, he does. Like I said, does get into a little bit more, you know, issues and stuff, and he'll do some things, but he does listen very well. And in fact, like I always say to my wife, he's sometimes easier than my daughter, because my daughter is definitely more argumentative, but she's also a teenager, so that's a whole nother level there anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's going to high school next year, so that's a whole nother issue right there with girls.
It really depends on the kid. But
yeah, I mean, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see all these responses from all these parents, and you know, we thank them for their participation again, because it makes the program very interesting to find out, you know, how people cope and deal with different situations and what they do to help them make the situation better. Because, you know, a lot of times, Lynn, I've heard this, you know, thousands and thousands of times over the years since I've been doing the program, is that, you know, we'll talk about something and now all of a sudden it hits home to somebody listening and they're like, oh, I never thought of that before. And then all of a sudden they get that little tidbit and that changes everything with that child, you know, because they get a little bit of advice.
My number one source was always and still is other parents, you know.
Absolutely.
Getting information, someone who has been there and gone through it before me, you know.
Right. And that's one of the great things, you know, when I first thought about doing the program, Hope Saves the Day, was to kind of bring some information to parents that are sitting at home that can't get out to support groups, you know.
Right.
Because back then, I mean, my first podcast, I remember, was just at the end of 2007. And I can't believe it's been that long now that I've been doing the program. But, you know, I just remember talking about it, and the response was crazy. You know, the emails I was getting and stuff. And then I wasn't even an organization or anything at that time. So it was very, very early on. And it's amazing how now it's evolved. And there's, you know, even other programs that have kind of modeled after what we've created here at Autism Radio. So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, that it does have an effect, and it's definitely helping. You know, one of the many tools is just bringing parents hope every week. And like I said, it's great to have parents with the social media sharing stuff of personal experiences, because they're helping others by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all great stuff. Well, before we wrap it up, we got a couple things, Lynn, we got to get out there. First of all, obviously this is Autism Awareness Month. Again, we got to mention that, of course. And like I always say, is that every day is Autism Awareness Month here at Autism Radio, and the lives that we live every day, because we live it, Lynn, you and I, and many others that listen to our program. We have some great items on the website now. We have our Teach the World t-shirt, which I wanted to let everybody know about. They are now in stock. So if you did place your orders, we did have a ton of pre-orders, Lynn. It was crazy how many orders have come in already. which we'll be shipping out this week because, like I said, they just came in. We're actually almost halfway out of stock already on a lot of this stuff because we sold so many. Like, I know there was over, 60, 70 orders that came in the first week, which was crazy. I never thought it would be that many, but they love the shirt. That the shirt has a great saying. It's, "I thought I would have to teach the world about my child. It turns out that I have to teach the world about my child," and it's Be the Change and autismradio.org. And it's just greatly laid out, the design of this. And also we have our Be the Change t-shirts, which are everyday autism awareness type shirt, helping families in need that have children with autism, which is our slogan here at autismradio.org, and also Hope Saves the Day. So we want to make sure we, you know, tell everybody about that. It's right on the website. So when you click on autismradio.org, it will tell you right there. But we want to make sure we get this out there again. If you want to come and meet Lynn, Lynn's going to be speaking at her Autism Awareness Seminar coming up on April the 22nd. She is hosting it at the Mahwah Public Library at 6:30. And the seminar is free, and it's open to everybody. And they're holding a story time upstairs for children. So if you do need to bring them, please bring them. And this way, you know, your children will be fine upstairs and everybody's welcome. So it's a great event. So be sure to visit Lynn there. Also, don't forget Park Lake School Gala is coming up on Friday, the April the 24th from 7 to 12 midnight at the Brownstone in Paterson, New Jersey. If you'd like tickets or more information, please contact Sandy Garrett at 973-983-1099. For tickets or more information, again, it's 973-983-1099. And also we have coming up one of our sponsors this month, the Children's Institute, is going to be holding their annual Walk for a Lifetime at Verona Park in Verona, New Jersey. They provide tremendous educational and therapeutic and vocational training to children and adults on the autism spectrum. So if you want to register or donate now, go to www.tcischool.org/walk. So that's another great event. And also, don't forget, in June, we have our annual, sixth annual golf tournament at the Picatinny Arsenal. It's a great event. There's tons of sponsorship opportunities, and all the proceeds from this event go to autismradio.org and the Boys and Girls Club of Paterson and Passaic, New Jersey. So it's a great cause, and they're doing great stuff at this event. So be sure to, you know, if you're interested in attending this event, you know, contact the North Jersey Federal Credit Union, Adia Abuswab. You can contact her at 973-785-9200, extension 3392, or you can also email her at marketing@njfcu.org. Again, it's Adia Abuswab at 973-785-9200 if you'd like to participate in this great event. So for all your golfers out there, anybody that likes to play golf, it's a great fundraiser. This includes golf and also a nice meal following the golf. So it's a great course. It's a private course, so there's not tremendous amount of opportunities to get to Picatinny, so this is one of them. So definitely want to check that out as well. And Lynn, of course, our very own Autism Radio Casino Night. It's Friday, this September the 18th from 7 to 11 at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey. It's $95 per person. And it's a full buffet, open bar, $50 in casino money, prizes to the winners, and silent auctions and a DJ. And if you want to be a sponsor, please contact us at sponsor@autismradio.org. Again, it's sponsor@autismradio.org. And you can get information there. And also, if you want tickets, you can go right to the website right now. Go to autismradio.org, and you can actually click on the event and click on the Casino Night logo, and it will actually, you'll be able to purchase tickets right there. So they have the tickets right on the website that are available now. So it's a great event. It looks like we're going to have some nice celebrities that are going to be there as well to participate. So it's a great opportunity to meet some of your favorite sports athletes and celebrities. So it's going to be, we don't know exactly who's going to be there, but we do know there's going to be quite a few people there. So, and of course, all the Autism Radio team will be there as well. So you definitely want to come out, and we'll have a fun night out. So it's a great night. Like I said, it's an open bar, all you can eat buffet. And you get some casino money to gamble and win some tremendous prizes that we're going to have available. So it's a great night out. So be sure to put that on your calendars now, and you can actually purchase tickets on autismradio.org today. So, Lynn, we like to thank everybody, as always.
Yes, thank everybody.
All our listeners, you know, without them, it's not possible. Obviously, they're the ones that drive the show and keep us alive and keep us going every week. And we like to thank them, of course, for all their support. So, everybody, have a great week. And remember, until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone.
Hi, my name is Tom Casella, and I'm a music teacher in a special needs school in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey, called the Windsor Learning Center. I've created this music video to help spread autism awareness. This project is important to me because I've worked with many autistic students over the past 7 years, and I've watched the number of students diagnosed with autism increase. The newest statistic is that 1 in every 50 children is diagnosed somewhere along the autism spectrum. I was inspired to create this music video for Autism Radio's Hope Saves the Day music contest to help spread autism awareness. Musicians are to create music to the lyrics written by Paul Simmons and then submit their music to listeners, then to be judged. The lyrics are about his personal experience with his son who is nonverbal, and I wanted to dedicate my musical rendition to someone I know in my life, a beautiful mother and daughter who are facing some of the same challenges, Tammy Marderson and Jalen West.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside, please help me understand what your world like. I wanna feel your love. I wanna know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought you can't feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound you can't make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling, how it feels to be me.
Please share this video to help spread autism awareness. Also, please consider donating to autismradio.org, America's first 100% volunteer charity for autism.